Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for those of you who've been hanging around with me. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. I'm glad Gary Moore is here, too, because otherwise it wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Gary was Senior Vice President of Investments for Payne Webber in another life. Before he founded his own company and became a small business owner, he now counsels ethical and spiritual investors. He's the author of a number of books, including one of my personal favorites, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, and his newest book, which is very fine, Faithful Finances 101, From the Poverty of Fear and Greed to the Riches of Spiritual Investing. He's our good friend, Gary Moore. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Humble.
That's right, Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble. You knew who they were talking about, didn't you?
I was so amazed that I actually got to talk to you this morning, Jim.
Well, you know, I try to cast my pearls before you guys whenever I can.
No, I thought sure I'd talk to an assistant this morning.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, what's
you'd be off signing contracts, doing deals.
Well, I do that during. I try to do that later in the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that was nice of you, Jim.
I'm always glad to help out. Hey, Gary, what's the investment landscape looking like out there right now? It seems like. If you hear some of the pundits, it sounds like maybe things are off a little bit.
And the market's been moving sideways. We've had no gains this year in anything. If you look through the financial pages, you'll see the bond funds are flat, the stock funds are flat. And it's just one of those weird periods, Jim, and there's really two tensions happening. One, we still have an enormous amount of stimulus in the economy with low rates. Yeah, they raised it a little bit, but we still have low rates. And the war, of course, is stimulative. But then on the other side, I think people are starting to look after the election. You know, historically, presidents like to use as much influence as they have, and we overrate that to have a recession right after the election so people forget about it until the next election. And I think the markets are starting to look beyond the election and saying either way it's not going to be real pretty. And so basically you just have sentiment is sort of negative, but fiscal policy is still stimulative, so you just got this sideways movement.
Well, you know, I'm really kind of getting a little bit worried about one of my predictions. You know, as you know, I make predictions at the beginning of the year for what I think is going to happen. And I predicted that the Fed would raise rates in the June session for the first time. And they did that. I also predicted that would be the last time they would raise them before the election, after the election. And yeah. So they were still out on that one. But the first one I was correct. I predicted that I didn't do this in January, but I did it in March, that Edwards would be the VP nominee, and he was. But my other prediction was that the stock market would exceed its previous high of 11,722, I think it is. Before the end of the year, and that hasn't happened yet, and I'm a little bit worried about that prediction, Gary.
Yeah, I would be, Jim. If you look inside the first page of the Wall Street Journal, they plot the markets against what's called the 200-day moving average, Jim, and a lot of traders and even investors really watch that. And what you see, and you always play the direction of the moving average. And if you're a trader, you watch the 10-day moving average or whatever. But investors watch the 200-day. And it is just rolled over, Jim. What they've used that for is because with the volatility of the markets, it's hard to tell what the direction is.
Right.
So they plot the moving average. And right now, the moving average is rolled over and is headed down. Now, that's not a foolproof. That's just one indicator.
No, but that's an important indicator. We learned about moving averages. We learned about moving averages last week with one of our guys who tracks small business activity.
Yeah.
But the economy is basically doing okay. The moving average of the economy is going upwards.
Yeah, and but that's the stock market's always 6 months ahead at least of the economy, Jim. Don't ever pay attention to what's going on in the economy today to look at the stock market. That's the worst mistake people make.
Gary, you're sounding a little bearish here.
Well, the stock market is a leading indicator, Jim. And if it's a leading indicator, it's looking down the road and it's looking after the election. But I've been bearish, Jim. You know I've been not bearish, but basically saying there's not going to be a lot of money made in the stock market for 5 years now.
You said and that. You have said that for some time now, and you've probably been right.
Well, in 5 years, you know, nothing's made anything if you look at, like, the S&P 500 and so on. But let me tell you the important part about the interest rates for the small
business.
Hold
on to that thought. I want to pick up on the interest rates. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101. We'll come back. We're going to get Gary to tell us what all this interest rate business means to your portfolio. Ponytail, stay with us. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101 and Spiritual Investments, plus a number of other books that you can find. His name is very simple, Gary Moore, just like you think it would be spelled. Gary, when we took the break, you were going to talk to us a little bit about interest rates. Now, just to set the stage a little bit, the Fed funds rate, which is the rate that the Fed charges banks for overnight withdrawals, is 1.25%. It just raised a couple weeks ago from 1% to which was a 40-50 year low and still is at 1.25. That means prime is 4.25, three above that, and which means that small business owners, we live in a world of prime plus, which means that we pay anywhere from 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4 or more over prime for our loans, because typically we're seen as a lot riskier for banks. But right. Even at 4.25 prime, which means even if we borrow it at 7.25, three over, we can still handle that in today's world, Gary. So the interest right. rates for small business owners, interest rates are not a bad deal right now.
No. And, you know, the reality is, Jim, most small business owners, particularly when they're getting started, do not borrow at prime. They borrow at a mortgage rate. Because that's where the source of funding comes from most startups,
right.
is out of the home. So mortgage rates are probably more important than what Greenspan does.
Right. Yeah, especially for a startup, they're going to mortgage.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
for existing businesses, typically you'll be getting a regular business loan. But go ahead.
Exactly. But we put too much emphasis on the presidency. The president cannot influence the economy nearly as much as people think they do. And I've preached that for years. What really influences the economy is what all of us are doing out here. We like to focus it on the president. But it's also true with Alan Greenspan, maybe even more so. Every study I've ever seen on Wall Street, real study, Jim, despite the popular press and all of us in the media talking about Greenspan and so on, basically shows the Fed funds rate is a lagging indicator. Think last year how much interest rates rose before Greenspan even raised the Federal Reserve a quarter of a point. I mean, what mortgage rates went up a half to a point, and all other loans went up. But what the Fed does is affirm the direction of interest rates. And it's important as an affirmation that rates are trending higher right now. But the reality is the market sets the rates, Jim. And here's what's interesting. There's an old thing on Wall Street that says buy on rumor, sell on news. Mm-hmm. I've been telling people that I was getting inquiries. Remember we said that bonds haven't made any money this year, Jim?
Right.
What that in essence means is if your bond's paying 5% interest, the principal value of your bond has gone down 5% to offset it and make it zero, okay? And the reason for that is interest rates have been rising, which makes bond prices drop. And people have been calling me saying, geez, Gary, should we get out of our bonds after rates went up because we're not making anything? Well, the reality is once the Fed actually raises rates, it's probably a good time to buy bonds because, in essence, it says that the rate increase is over. You may have noticed Bill Gross, of PIMCO, who's been a real bond bear for all this year, bought $30 billion worth of bonds the day after, I think it was, the Fed raised the interest rate. And what we've seen for the last week or two is that bonds are rallying fairly strongly, which means interest rates are dropping. I think interest rates will actually drop into the election.
Hmm. You really? That's surprising to hear. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I think it's already happening, Jim. And I think the last thing Alan Greenspan wants to be remembered as, and I used the religious language the other day, is having burned two bushes. Remember, Greenspan got blamed for,
right,
for killing George the First.
Right.
And I don't think he wants to get remembered as killing George.
And that's the reason why, even though a lot of my economists on my brain trust disagree with me, and they say that history doesn't show that the Fed it shows that the Fed is apolitical. But I said, that's the reason I said that they will raise rates because they need to in June, but they won't do it again until after the election, unless there's some kind of something going on that nobody can foresee. Normal course of business, they will not raise rates again until after the election, if then.
Yeah, and that might not be true if Greenspan weren't himself so prone to easy money policy.
Right.
But Greenspan's been one of the easiest money guys in the history of the Fed. And if you combine that with the fact there's an election coming, I just can't see him getting in a hurry to raise rates.
What do you think? What does Wall Street think about Mr. Kerry? What do you think the general consensus is about Mr. Kerry?
I should say a
Kerry administration.
They would have lived with Kerry. I think there's some Wall Street guys. I think there was an article in the Journal yesterday about guys throwing money both sides, hedging their bets, and the guys at Goldman, for example, will give a lot of money to Kerry.
Right.
I think they were more interested in Edwards and being a trial lawyer and so on, Jim. I think Edwards, you heard the comment of the president of the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Edwards added, I think the Journal said the other day, 5% voters to Kerry. He was a political positive, but I think he's going to be an economic negative because he's going to roll out the big money now to guys like the Chamber of Commerce and so on. Not that Democrats don't have their big money. It's amazing how much money they're raising
right this
year. But I think the addition of Edwards is definitely going to galvanize a lot of business types on the right.
Right. But what's it going to do for the people in the middle? That's the key. And there typically aren't too many business people in the middle. Most of them, especially the larger businesses, most of them have decided whether they're going to be on the left or the right. Stand by, Gary. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of the new book, Faithful Finances 101. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of...
We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Gary Moore, you want to give us your website?
Financialseminary.org.
Financialseminary.org. And now the book, Faithful Finances, is available where?
You can get it on Amazon. You can go to templeton.org and order it. John Templeton's press published the book.
Right.
And you can get it either way. Amazon's probably the easiest.
All right. That's Gary Moore, M-O-O-R-E. Gary, give us some tips. If you were a small investor right now, what would you be doing?
The biggest play right now, again, is a re-weakening of the dollar, Jim. I played that weak dollar last couple years. I told you about that.
Yeah.
Because of our deficits and so on.
Right.
I thought that at the beginning of the year, politics would take over and there would be a strengthening of the dollar. And basically been pretty good about that. And now I'm going back, and the politics is probably becoming moot again, and I am buying foreign bond funds.
Foreign bond
funds.
How can the average, how can and should the average small investor do something like that?
Well, right now, if you've got a 403B or whatever, just look in it, and if you've got a couple thousand dollars in a global stock fund or particularly a U.S. stock fund, just look at getting part, at least half of your money. John Templeton today says you probably ought to have 90% outside the United States. But John always does more than the typical person. You can't hardly get the average American to do 50%.
Now, he's the guy that gave that advice many, many years ago, and it was correct, didn't he?
Oh, right on the money, Jim. He, back in 99, you may remember we talked about, he was shorting internet stocks and all that kind of stuff, and he was buying foreign government bonds. And by that, I mean mostly Canadian government bonds, which may or may not be foreign. You know, that's almost like another state or something.
Right, it's a neighbor.
But he made a ton of money as the Canadian dollar strengthened. And you get two plays. You get their interest. You get any possible lowering that would increase the bond price. But mostly you get the currency. And he just made a fortune in Canadian government bonds. And for example, if you just have a few dollars, you can look at the Templeton Global Bond Fund, not to push them. Others have good ones. But one of the things that intrigues me about that is when John set it up, he believed the U.S. should either be in stocks or foreign bonds for bad times. So he made it purely a government bond fund, and he made it purely outside the United States. Mm-hmm. Most global bond funds, you'll get some U.S. bonds. But the Templeton one is a little unique, and I use it quite a bit. I use others as well. There are several good ones. But any of your fund companies, and probably your 403B, should have a global bond fund.
Now, all right, that's bonds. What about stocks?
I'm not too big on stocks today, Jim. I've been playing a little bit in the globals and particularly in the developing markets. They had a huge year last year. And so basically, I'm right now kind of even backing out of them because it's time for them to correct.
And I know you don't like it when I ask you this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What do you think the Dow will be in 6 months?
There's an old saying, Jim, give them an event, give them a time, never give them both. You're asking me for both. I will tell you this, sometime in the next 100 years, the Dow will be much higher.
Yeah.
John and I wrote an article together about why the Dow will be at the 1 million level at the end of the next century.
I remember that.
But I am not going to give you any kind of prediction between now and the end of the decade.
But the rolling average.
We could easily go the rest of this decade flat. Not down.
You have said that before.
I said that 5 years ago on your show, Jim. And right now, you might notice we're still 1,500 points or so below the peak of 5 years ago.
Do you still think small investors should focus on mutual funds rather than individual stocks?
Yeah, I do, Jim. And especially if you're going overseas. And right now, you've got to go overseas because things are so good here in the United States. That's the hard part. People act like I'm sort of down on the United States. When you have to get out of investments, Jim, is when they can't get any better.
Right.
I mean, can we lower interest rates anymore in this country?
Mm-mm.
Well, yeah, we can, Jim.
Well,
but not
without being in danger.
Well, and that's the dilemma. You know, there are more than political reasons for saying interest rates can go down. We still have a lot of excess capacity in this country. China's coming on with deflationary influences on the economy. India is, and so on. You know, it was 1950 when
Gary,
I was.
Gary, I'm going to have to stop you. I apologize, but we've run out of time.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for being here. Good job today.
Take care, buddy.
I enjoyed it. Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, the new book, Faithful Finances 101. Check it out whenever you can. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.